good investment of your time. And I'm just going to share a few thoughts here, just kind of an introduction of what our year is going to look like. But I just want to encourage you, men, to try to be a part of this as we go through the year. I have a few things I want to go through, a few verses that I want to share with you. But my heart would be that you would grow. That's our heart, the pastors and I. We want you to grow in your faith. Let's just walk through some of these things. This is kind of what we wrote up. I know it's a lot of words for one slide, and the cardinal rule is not a lot of words in one slide, but hey, I'm not a cardinal. So our theme for the Rock Men in 24 and 25 is fully devoted disciples. God has placed a burden on our pastors' hearts to go deeper in discipleship at the Rock Church. In response to Jesus' command to teach and make disciples, together we will explore what it means to be fully devoted to Christ, equipping ourselves not just for personal growth, but also as we lead and our influence on others. These gatherings are more than just a meeting. They are a movement to become the men God has called us to be, fully committed to Him, His Word, and His mission. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. That's what we're about. And that's what this men's night is about. You might be new, you might have been coming for a long time, just like the brothers have said before us, but we want to welcome you. It'd be the fourth Monday of most months, other than Christmas. We'll meet on the third. But the fourth Monday of most months, going through May, we will meet like this. And the different pastors will teach on different things, and our theme is discipleship. Let me just go through a few verses. You know, as I was thinking through some of these things, my mind has gone everywhere. God has been so kind to me, and in His Word, He just speaks to us all over the place. But this is what we're looking for. We're going to be committed to Jesus, committed to His Word, committed to His mission. That's why we gather here. That's why this building was built, so God could use us to do the things that God is doing in this world. I'll start with this verse. I mean, we got to start with the gospel. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this church, most weekends, you will hear the gospel preached because that's what we're about. The wages of sin is death. That's what we've earned. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And maybe for the most part, most of you here, you get that you understand that, but maybe there's some that are still trying to figure that out. And we're here to help you. There's men in here you can talk to at any time, and we want to talk to you and help you understand the things of God. We want to be committed to Jesus and His gospel. I like this verse from 1 Peter 3:15. It says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you, ask about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. You know, last week I was in Tennessee with my younger sister. She's 7 years younger than me. And I came to Christ about 28, 29 years ago. And when I first did, I shared the gospel with my younger sister. And I like took her head and put it in my Bible and just kind of rubbed it in there, you know. I was pretty aggressive, to say the least. And it offended her. And it's kind of broke my heart all these years. I prayed for her. Ultimately, I can't thwart God's plans for her soul. But I do know that I had an opportunity last week, and I was walking, and I prayed for her most mornings for all those years. And I prayed. I went to Tennessee. One of the reasons was I wanted to be with her, and I wanted to talk about the things of the Lord. And I was walking with her, and she told me, you know, I was just asking her about her faith, and she said, you know, I'm a Christian. And I said, oh, really? What is a Christian to you? What exactly does that mean to you? Because I know I've known her for a long time, and I'm not to judge. It's between her and the Lord. But I'd be surprised if she's a Christian, and I'm kind of brokenhearted about that. So I came to this verse, and I said, have you set apart Christ as Lord of your life? Is that true? She says, well, I pray, and I think about God. And I said, well, have you set Him apart as Lord of your life? Do you believe in Jesus? And we just had a wonderful talk going through. And, you know, she didn't step over the line, but maybe she's a little closer. I think God's working on his, on her heart. We have opportunities all around us. I like this verse from 2 Corinthians. Let me break it down a little bit for you. Chapter 11, verse 3. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. This is kind of near and dear to me. Of course, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Corinth. Lots of sin in the church. It was a mess. They were trying to, Paul's trying to direct them, pastor them out of all the sin that was happening in the church. And he had a pastor's heart and a father's heart and a teacher's heart. And one of the most important things to him that he wanted to remind them of is your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That's something precious. That's yours. That's between you and the Lord, your sincere and pure devotion to the Lord. We need to be men that have that as a priority, our devotion to the Lord. Moving on to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. When I read these verses, it's just, have you? Have I? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I can say that myself. I live by faith in the Son of God. That's what I want to walk in. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Do you believe that? Do you believe these truths? Do they change the way you think day in and day out? Do they change the way we do things? Do we interact with an unbelieving world? Like Colossians 3:3, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I like to say life on life. Life on life discipleship. Jesus starts it with us. We become a disciple of Jesus Christ. We become a disciple of his, life on life. He gave his life so that we could live. And he rose from the dead, and our God lives. It's life on discipleship. It starts with us and our relationship with Jesus. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. What I'm trying to lean into is what Steele mentioned earlier, just a personal love for the Lord and a desire for sincere and pure devotion and an exciting love and intimate relationship with the Lord that is an everyday walk with the Lord, not just a Sunday morning. I like what C.S. Lewis had to say. He said, the Scotch Catechism says that man's chief end is joy, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But we shall then know that these are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. Do you enjoy the Lord? One of my favorite verses is, delight yourself into the Lord, in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Are you delighted in the Lord? I mean, is it the most important relation to you? Is he Lord of your life? Are you delighted in him? John 15:5 says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And then it goes on to say, apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't think any of you men want that. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. And we need each other to spur each other on. Committed to his word. 1 Peter 1:25. From the NLT, it says, but the word of the Lord remains forever, and that word is the good news that was preached to you. There's so many verses that point us to God's word. This is some of my favorites, just the elementary truths of the faith. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, In all that he does, he prospers. I would suggest you memorize these. He meditates day and night, and on his law, and on God's word, he meditates day and night. I would just really encourage you, men, to not be weekend Christians, but an everyday Christian, looking to the Lord to build you up every single day. You know, I came to Christ a little later in life, about 28 years ago, but some people influenced me, and I know I went to a concert, conference one time, and the teacher said, there was a time in my life where I made a commitment, a covenant with the Lord that I would be in his word, in his Bible, under his authority every day of my life. I would pray and be in the word. I made that promise all those years ago. God, if that guy can do it, I can do it. I'm not a superstar in a lot of things, but I can get up and do it every day. I can do the simple work of getting up and looking to you. Because I want to know you. I want you to lead me. When God saved my soul, I'm changed. I'm born again. I'm different. I don't want to be that old bag of flesh. I want to be the new man God created me to be. You know, and sometimes we call this a hospital. God brings people in that are wounded. But you know what? In this hospital, we walk in victory. Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes things are difficult. But we have the living God living inside of us. And the Bible says that his spirit is sealed inside of us. Do you guys believe that? Do you walk in victory? Or you walk around and just, I'm this loser dude. You are not a loser dude. You are not. If you know Jesus, you are sons of the living God. We are royalty. And we need to be men to step into that. Lord, teach me to know you so intimately that I walk in a way that you want me to. Because in and of myself, I will shrink back. Maybe that's just me. We need the Lord. We need other men in our lives. We need to be in his word day and night, every day, every day. Does your plan include every day? I'm not talking about in a legalistic manner at all. I'm saying delight yourself in the Lord. Why would you miss out on that? Some say every day. I have to read every day. You get to. You're crazy not to. Why would you miss out on what the Lord wants to lead you in? We get to. Oh, this from Hebrews. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what God does for us as we meditate on his word. Leads us, directs us. In Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Oh my goodness, please don't. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You have to go to the Lord. Amen. Have you given authority to the Lord in your life? Is the Bible, God's word, authority to you? Does it renew your mind day in and day out? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. 1 Timothy 4:11 and 12, it says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. The Apostle Paul was teaching Timothy, who was a younger man trying to pastor a newer church. He said, let no one despise you for your youth. And I would say that to all of you young people in here. I think of my three grandsons. Don't let anyone look down on you for your youth. But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity, no matter what age you are. Set an example for the believers, for this church. We need each other. We need to set examples for each other, young and old. And by the way, the young need the old, and the old need the young. We need these young ones. They need us. I think of people like Bob Fairwell and Gary McGuire, just saturated with the word. Whenever I get with them, it's just like, it's like wet paint. They get it on me. I love it. I want them to get it on my grandsons. I want you guys to influence them for Christ. I want them to come to church and see men that are excited for the Lord, not just, oh, here I am. Old Eeyore, I'm glad I'm at church. It's the most important thing to me. I get it, life is hard. But we're setting the pace. Others are looking to us. Man, your church needs you. Protect the women, lead them, direct them. It's our call to lead this church into more. Committed to his mission. You guys know this. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's our mission. It's not like we have to guess at it. Make disciples. First, become a disciple of Jesus, and then we disciple others. Jesus, others. It's just a continuum. That's our mission. 2 Timothy 2:2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You know, we had a retreat with some of the leaders of our church. We all had 45 people, went up to Heber and pursued the Lord, and they had some good teachings, and I really came away thinking that, you know, God, I'm convinced God is doing something really special in our midst. God is moving, and he's not brought us to this place just to hang out. We're fun to hang out with, and I'm with good food and all that, but it's more than that. You know, Josh was up there, Josh Whitney, Pastor Josh, he taught on discipleship and about handing the baton to the next person. And it was just a really good illustration. And we're called to do that. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to help someone else follow Jesus. But I thought about this a little further, Josh. And once I hand mine off, I'm going to keep running next to this guy. I'm going to be with him. Maybe only 6 months, maybe 6 years, maybe 60 years. But we're called to hand it off. And inside, we wrote some names. Most of the names I wrote down are in this room that I want to hand my baton to. I want to get my paint on them. I want to influence them. Many of you have influenced me in so many ways. There is a responsibility to pass the baton. We need to be men that are ready. Matthew 24:14 says, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. That's where we're headed. Are these end times? I would say it looks like it. The end will come. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. I'm ready. Today would be good. We've been called to a mission that's more than ourselves. It's supernatural. That's why sometimes it seems like, oh my goodness, that's a big, hairy, audacious goal. It's what God's called us. Only he can do it, and he is doing it. You know that the kingdom is advancing now more than it ever has? The kingdom of God is advancing. He started it to begin advancing, and it has continued all these years, and it continues to this day. God is doing exactly what he intended to do. That brings me comfort. The kingdom of God is advancing. God knows what he's doing with the human race. Sometimes it seems just absolutely chaotic, but our God knows where he's going, where he's taking us. I like this quote from D.L. Moody. I do not know anything that would wake up Chicago. Okay, let's just stop right there. I do not know anything that would wake up Utah better than for every man and woman here who loves him to begin to talk about him to their friends and just to tell them what he has done for you. You've got a circle of friends. Go and tell them of him. I like that. We have a circle of friends. Tell them about the Lord. That's our mission. You know, it really, it is that simple. Just telling the next person. You know, the Lord changed my life. This is what he did for me. I know your marriage is tubed out right now. The Lord has helped me get through a marriage that was tubed out. God restored my marriage. Whatever the conversation might be, you know, I'm hooked on pornography. I can't get off it. The Lord can help you with that. Go to the Lord with that. Get another man. Get accountability. You are not trapped. You are not done. God can help you out of that. I've seen it personally time and time again. He picks us up. He's not disgusted or mad. Just like brushes you off. Time to go do things for me, son. Time to move on. Time to move on from that. I have better for you. The world doesn't think that way. Fully devoted disciples, committed to Jesus, committed to his word, and committed to his mission. I would like to just take a minute, put your head next to the person next to you, and just ask God to help you be fully devoted disciples. Just a quick prayer right now. Put your head to the person next to you. Just ask God to help you to be a fully devoted disciple. Just real quick, each of you. Thank you, Lord, that this room is filled with voices that are praying to you. Thank you, Lord, that these voices can even sound almost chaotic, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that you hear every single prayer that was just prayed. Lord, you know that prayer. You know that person. And I thank you for that, Lord. I pray by your grace, by your power, by your might, you would help each and every one of us, young and old and everyone in between, faithfully become fully devoted disciples. You know we need your spirit that lives in us to help us with that, Lord. You know us. Lord, we want to walk in your ways. Help us do that. In this room, Lord, I pray for every single man and young man and every boy, Lord. You would help them become fully devoted disciples. I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.